Everyone's doing podcasts. Oh, you got to listen. My cousin, he has one exploring the life of John Wayne Gacy. Like, share, subscribe. True crime podcaster pedestrian. I want to be refreshed. I'm an adult. I need a podcast that has a seven fruit blend with a Mario Paint chaser. I want Mario Paint versus Boku. Is that too much to ask?
I can't believe you talked me into this. Hello and welcome to Dad of the Year. I'm your host, Todd Hunt, and with me always is Mike and his son, Gabe. Before we get into all that, I was thinking of going smooth today, guys. What do you think? How's it going? Old school radio.
Isn't that just like early 90s radio? Like that wasn't...
I don't know that's old school.
It's actually, yeah.
You'd be like, the Kaiser just attacked over in the, you know?
Right. Yeah, we've done the transatlantic. No, I think it's more fresh air, isn't it? It's more NPR, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's
and talking to us today, we have Bill Forrester.
Yeah, yeah. Terry Gross.
Yeah. Bill Forrester, yeah. By far, the most NPR name I've ever come out with. Bill Forrester is an expert in something you're not interested in. I can promise you that.
Yeah, no, he's got, it's like bird calls or, you know, he's been tracking. He has a new coffee table book on birds of the Northeast.
Right, exactly.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, like, I'll buy it and it's fine, but...
I'm thinking about getting Perry a clear birdhouse for the window. Have you ever had any experience with a clear birdhouse?
No, and I don't think it's any of your business what they're doing in there.
It's actually incredibly true. Why would I want to get involved in the familial relations of Northeastern birds? At least the very minimum, I should be consulting Bill Forrester's field guide before we get started. At least know what their habits are and see if they're not disgusting enough to insult my son.
Yeah, exactly. It's none of your business what
Mommy,
they do.
Those birds are wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. It's too early for that.
Yep.
Guys, before we get into what will no doubt be the most least popular show since When Alf Met Belvedere, I want to talk to the audience real quick.
Okay.
So yeah, we've made some updates, our contact info and some other sites that we're working on for the Dad of the Year podcast, which you know is the new title of the show. Basically, everything's the same on Instagram if you are already following us. It's just changed to Dad of the Year Cast on Insta. But for people who aren't already following us, weren't following us when we were the Super Nintendads, it's Dad of the Year Cast on Instagram. And I will link some information to this episode about where we can be emailed, contact. Now, I'm like reserved to even say this, Mike. on to the show.
Yeah.
If we can call it that.
Yeah. So this is, so how epic is this now? Was this was episode one. The Mega Man 2 show, right? This was the first. Did we joke that we were going to do a whole show on Mario Paint?
The first episode we ever did, Mega Man 2, we talked about the fact that we were going to be doing a Mario Paint episode. That was now over 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, but we deliver. Sometimes late, but we deliver.
Yeah, we come through in the end. A lot like Bill Forrester. Who spent way too much time releasing his field guide baseball while his fans patiently awaited. We made good on it. Mario Paint is arguably one of my favorite video game experiences of all time. Boku is something Mike's completely uninterested in, but wanted to throw a wrench into my favorite episode. I'm surprised he didn't try to ruin Super Mario World, which is by far our most popular episode and my favorite
really
game
was.
Of all time.
You called my bluff because this really was my like my suicide, like pact, like there's no way he'll take us both down with this ship. Like if you want to do Mario Paint, which I never played and never had until I had to get for this episode, I'm gonna tie it to something that's impossible to do an episode on.
Well,
and
we're proving that wrong, aren't we?
Yeah, you did. You called it.
If you and I were fighting over a child and King Solomon said, saw it in half, or whatever king that was, might have been Solomon, we'd be like, okay.
I'd get the Boku half.
Yeah. And
Is that too much to ask?
I don't think
so. Everyone's sawing babies in half to solve problems. Why don't we just all chill out? Why don't we all just have a Boku?
You spent a lot of time watching the old Richard Jenny commercials, haven't you?
It's not Richard Jenny. It's Richard Lewis.
Sadly, Richard Jenny's no longer with us. Platypus Man.
You're killing me.
Come on. I will tell you, some of my favorite interactions on Curb Your Enthusiasm are with Larry David and Richard Lewis.
Richard Lewis, 100%.
He's just the absolute best.
His lens is funny. That's why. Same thing with Larry David. There's just people that are born with a lens that's funny. Yeah. Like you put any information into there, you're going to get something, a reaction that's like, you know,
right.
just hilarious.
Those two are arguably the two most miserable comedians of all time. So
yeah.
Having it together is just always brilliant.
It's the perfect match. So pivoting quickly, I want to talk to Gabe because Gabe, you didn't know anything about either one of these topics. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Yes.
Yeah, but we really put you through the ringer with both of them, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I busted out that.
How
like,
much
Mario
Boku?
Pink
how much
pad.
Expired Boku did you make him drink?
Todd, you can't find Boku.
Did you try
on Earth? They either shot it all into space or buried it like ET.
I heard when Elon Musk shot the Tesla up into space with the mannequin like playing ABBA music, they filled the trunk with the rest of Boku.
With the rest of Boku. Because wherever you want to land, you want an adult beverage. You want to be refreshed by a seven fruit blend. Is that too much to ask?
I don't think it's
too much to ask. So we're going to... Gabe knew nothing. And for me to explain to him what this was. Because, Todd, I don't think anything really... If you wanted to show like aliens what the 90s were, you'd roll the first Richard Lewis 90s, I'm a 90s man Boku commercial. And they'd be like, oh, you know, like oversized clothes, like, you know, dark palette, like, you know, like that kind
of
stand-up.
It's a very 90s commercial, isn't it? Yeah. In every way, shape, for like the fast edits, heavy, quick cuts.
Yep. Everything about it. Is exactly so this was a weird thing for Gabe because there's not really anything, you know, because we could talk about, you know, any kind of game today kind of has DNA in games that Gabe plays, if that makes sense. Like, oh, it's a platformer, it's a shooter, hey Gabe, you know, so like he can get that. But these are two things that we pulled that are really on the fringe of something that I feel like Gabe would he would understand. He'd have to live through it. He would have had to been there to been like, oh, like Nintendo has a mouse pad out. Why did they do that? Or like, oh, hey, isn't that Richard Lewis from Robin Hood Men in Tights? I don't know if that was actually may have been after he did those Boku movies.
Hey, Blinken.
Not blow.
You know what I think? There's two important things I want to talk about super quick. One is it's really incredible that we have somehow lined these two topics up because. Mario Paint, as we'll kind of find as we dig into the history of it a little bit, actually was an answer to a problem. And Boku was an answer to a problem that did not exist.
So they're
really on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Like we'll find soon that like Mario over at Nintendo sitting in his office was trying to solve, you know, a genuine problem that was just in front of them. And you know, creating a non-alcoholic adult beverage was something that the world did not need. Yet they advertised enough to convince the world that it did.
It had a pull tab.
I mean, you know.
There's no straw. Todd, yeah, I'm a man of the 90s. I don't want to drink from a straw. Forget the caffeinated beverage. I don't want to belch. It's for babies. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you're really into it now, aren't you?
Listen, there's only like six of these commercials out there, and they're all on Ytube, and they're all on repeat in my head.
Yeah.
They live rent-free. Yeah. Richard Lewis Boku commercials live rent-free in my head since 1994 or whatever it was.
And with Just Cause. The other thing I want to say is, for anyone new to the show, this is what the show is about, right? Us taking things that we either experienced or have been kind of these weird like moments of our childhood that we lived through that like we kind of questioned our entire lives and are only now starting to try to decipher it. Taking these things that we either kind of stuck out throughout our history or like that we experienced and remember fondly, sharing them with our kids, usually with Gabe and with Gray, as we'll talk about later, my son. And seeing what it looks and feels like to them to kind of experience it completely out of context, right? And what we normally do find is we tell them that the things that we grew up with are way better than theirs. And often we are wrong.
Very often we revisit it and it's not that good, guys. It's not as good as we thought it was.
To be honest, that 2.5 years ago when we started the show, that was the intent of the show, right? We certainly have other things that have kind of offshoots of the show at this point that we certainly have fun doing, but this is what the show is really about. And anytime we can get Gabe to dig his hands into some of the most ridiculous homework assignments we give him with the things that we grew up with, I look forward to more than just about anything else in my life. So
yeah, this is heavily like Mystery Science Theater 3000. We experiment on Gabe. It's just we don't send him we don't send him into a movie theater. We send him in like whether we put a game controller in his hand or
that's right.
Or I guess sometimes we do send him into a movie theater, but you know,
I mean,
usually.
I just posted quickly on Instagram. Gray dug into Mario Paint today for the past week and got really good at it. I just kind of
doesn't surprise
you. Yeah, I got put a quick picture up, but it was like one of those things where he was like, "I really don't want to be doing this. Why am I holding a mouse?" Like, you know, he has an iPad with an Apple Pencil. Like, he can draw pretty well on technology these days. And you know, a half hour later, I kind of looked in there and he had turned it back on by himself. His tongue's like sticking out of the side of his mouth as he's just like completely focused on trying to draw Mario and Luigi. So it worked. Like it clicked with him. Like he got it, but he's into art and all that stuff. But yeah, putting the controllers in the hands of our children and making them experience the things we grew up with is become one of the things we look forward to doing the most with our kids. So
yeah, totally.
That being said, Gabe, what did you think about Mario Paint?
It's very annoying.
Okay.
The mouse's sensitivity is way too low.
Oh, it's a trackball.
Yeah,
it's a trackball. And it was meant for people who were like, Gabe, you've probably in your lifetime, you know, you've probably used like 17 different mice, I guess we're saying. Not mouses.
Yeah.
So you're very familiar. You were born with a mouse in your hand. Like this is people for the first time. They were like, why is there a mouse? Like, what's a mouse? And they were like, Nintendo was like this. They're like, this is a mouse. Like, that's why it moves like mud, because people weren't, they didn't have the speed to turn the freaking thing all the way up with a laser and move it across from one side of the screen to the, we couldn't handle that.
There's a good chance that most of the households that purchased Mario Paint, that was the first mouse that they had inside their home.
That's an interesting, that's an interesting point.
I mean, they may have used it at work, office computers and that, but like, you know, home PCs at that point were still $1,000.
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough happening on them if you didn't need one at home. And essentially at that point, it was really word processing that to have one at home. So yeah, this is the first experience that most kids of our age had with a mouse. And it felt incredibly cool, didn't it?
Well, again, I didn't have it. It feels cool now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It feels cool now.
Like, and I actually got you Mario and Wario.
Yeah.
For Christmas a year or two ago.
Yeah, I didn't even get into that. Today's the first day I opened the mouse and the mouse pad. So, like I bought one in a complete box.
Yeah, I know.
And it's cool, but like Gabe says, it moves like mud.
Right. Well, you have now that you have it out, you have to play Mario and Wario. It's essentially a point and click adventure that it's one of the only other games ever made to use the mouse.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's Super Famicom game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Super Famicom game. Cool.
Yeah.
So, Gabe, not great. So, what did you mess with? Did you go? Did you play Nat Attack?
No, that sounds.
You
fun,
didn't
though.
SWAT flies?
No. Mike. I only messed with the music.
We need to stop the show.
No. I mean, we don't have time for that.
Just promise me when we're done, you guys will SWAT some flies. You hit the coffee button. It's a cup of coffee. It's an icon. You hit it. You go right into Nat Attack. There's even bosses.
Yeah, but you got to roll that slow ass mouse around
and
then click on them.
You'll get good at it, just like I did when I was 10.
Like, you get good. Mariel Paint is the Demon Souls of its time. Exactly.
Listen, there's a point. There's even points where you have to learn how to parry correctly, so you may not be far off.
Right.
It's a really robust parrying system in that attack.
Right.
Play that as soon as we're done. It's one of the best parts of the game.
All right. So that was that. Gabe, any thoughts on... So that's your Mario Paint. You thought it was annoying. You thought it moved slow. We didn't play a whole lot of it other than the music composer thing, which we'll fold in later. Folks will hear your Gabe made music for one of his assignments. So what about Boku? How do you feel about the Richard Lewis camera? Now you got me thinking about Richard. Poor Richard Jenny. Now you got me thinking about Richard Jenny. Yeah. What do you think about the Richard
Lewis
commercials?
Did you know that Richard Jenny shares a birthday with Bill Forrester?
Can you stop? Can you let Gabe
just
talk?
Just found that out.
Would you just shut up? Let Gabe talk. Gabe, did you think? What do you think about Richard Lewis? That delivery. What do you think about it? I mean, you're going to pitch us on this later because one of your assignments was, Gabe, you got to bring Boku back. 2022.
I love
the
that.
Year of Boku. 2020 coup, I think is what we want to call it. That's on the fly, guys. Snappy and Stacky. So I'm thinking that. Gabe really didn't understand this pitch at all, because even me watching now, and I live through it, I don't understand the pitch of an adult juice box. But Gabe, like, how weird was this, like, for an out of decade experience for you?
I don't know. I don't know why anybody would ever think that it's a good idea.
Well, what about alcoholics?
Well, why can't they just drink like normal apple juice or whatever?
I don't, Gabe, because they're an alcoholic of the 90s.
Because they want to have some fun too.
Yeah, is that too much to ask? I don't think it is. It's weird, Gabe. I don't know.
We should have gotten some older people that may have been adults during this time, and like, if it was just something that actually, like, the commercials lasted for a while, right? This was a product that didn't come and go. It was around for a year or two at least.
A few years,
right? But enough that, like, did people, like, buy, like, what? Did it work? Like, were they trying to sell it as an adult beverage so that young people thought it was cool?
I think,
or were they genuinely trying to sell it as an adult beverage?
I think this might be a good time to just start digging into stuff. What do you think?
Yeah. We're dangerously close. I don't know, Gabe, what else do you have to say about Boku?
Yeah, you want any more thoughts on Boku, Gabe, before we really dive in here?
No, what's not up? Really.
No? Is it something that you'd, if I had in the fridge, you might grab one day and give it a try?
Well, I would totally rather drink normal apple juice than the seven fruit blend or whatever it's marketed as.
Yeah.
Seven fruits is a lot of fruit.
Gabe doesn't eat any fruits, Todd. You'd hate him.
I told you, I don't like fruit. Fruit lies to you.
Oh, yeah.
I famously hate fruit.
That's right. Because, so you guys would make Nat your allies.
Then. Yeah, exactly. We would be total allies, because the worst thing in the world is to look at a peach that looks beautiful and has zero taste to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what always tastes exactly the same? A Hostess cupcake.
Stop it. You're right.
It's true.
Stop it.
Eat your vegetables.
Or don't. So, Gabe, final thoughts here? We're going to dive into this. Is going to be a ridiculous show. We might not be able to keep this on the rails. And that's saying something for me and Todd, who once told a story about being forced upon by a hot dog salesman for 15 minutes or whatever, to force the hot dog on his dad. This is like, even for us.
Yeah. Just remember, we got through Night Trap.
We got through Night Trap. Well, that's encouraging. And I encourage people to go back and listen to Night Trap, because Gabe had some theories, and I think that they were hilarious.
Gabe's story for Night Trap is way better than the actual story of Night Trap.
Yeah, and better than whatever we came up with.
Definitely better than that. I think I wrote a poem.
Yeah, you did write a poem. You did. You told your teacher you looked at the assignment a little differently. You know, you're one of those kids. Like, oh, I made a collage instead of a, and they're like, yeah, right. Okay.
So you didn't write anything? Nope. Just made a collage. Exactly.
Just made this collage.
It's a Mod Podge.
Yeah.
Used a lot of glue.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So we're doing this.
Let's do it. See what we get out of it. Squeeze those seven fruit.
I can promise you at least the blend of seven fruit juices.
At least a shot glass worth of fruit will be squeezed out of those seven.
Okay, let's do it. All right, Todd. So, do you want to kick us off here with Mario Paint first?
Yeah. What do you want to do? Do you want to go through it, or do you want to go one for one?
I don't know that we go one for one. Okay. I can barely keep up with what's going on. This show, I guess Mario Paint would stand alone on its own, but Boku is. It's really, I tried to trash you and you called my bluff. So I don't have a whole lot. Boku is like a C minus paper that I'd hand in.
Right.
Your Mario Paint is like, you know, you're like, and I brought in one of the men who worked on the assembly line for the mouse pad, and he's going to tell you all about you. Like, that's the level you went to. And I read the last chapter at lunch and wrote, you know what I'm saying?
Remember, I lived through Mario Paint. I actually didn't own Mario Paint. Michael Gorman did, who is, you know, kind of often tied to a lot of my video game memories. But I've spent a lot of hours in his basement playing Mario Paint. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think let's just start with some quick facts. Mario Paint came out in 1992 for Super Nintendo, and I do think is arguably the best console art program of all time. There's a weird revisionist history here, but it was actually incredibly popular for what it was. It sold a million units in a year, and by the end of its time on the shelf, it sold 2.3 million copies, which is a lot for an experimental PR move, essentially.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a strong performance.
Yeah, I mean, it was created by some of the directors at R&D1 that worked on, like, Super Metroid and, like, you know, people that were really involved in kind of the best-selling current generation games at the time got involved with this. But it was really born out of parental criticism. There was tons of articles at the time being written about Nintendo zombies and Nintember tantrums. Mike, have you ever heard of a product called Homework First? Something that ties in tremendously to why this was created?
No.
So Homework First, I'm going to put it up on our Instagram account, Dad of the Yearcast. It was actually a padlock that went into the NES. And it had, like, you know, like a padlock number system on it. And it locked the NES from being able to have a cartridge entered inside of it.
Oh,
and the
my
idea
God.
Was a parent could lock the system from it being played so that you'd have to do your homework or chores or whatever it was that you wanted to say, or limit their time, and then the parent would unlock it. But it's an incredibly interesting device that sold way more units than you would expect it to have sold.
Yeah, well, no, I think that I'd get one of those for Gabe.
Yeah.
There's nothing to lock up anymore. I don't know how I put a bike lock around his computer in there. Yeah, but now you just take the wires.
You just change the Wi-Fi password or something, right?
Yeah, right. That's
the new homework first.
Yeah, that's the new homework first, right?
Or
exactly.
You could, like me, forget to pay the cable bill and be sleeping in New York for 3 nights last week and have to get a phone call to pay the cable bill because the Wi-Fi wasn't working.
Ah,
yeah.
Stay on top of your stuff, Todd.
I literally can't anymore. I'm certainly trying my best. So yeah, Homework First was it's a really good example of, like, how nervous parents were about kids spending too much time playing video games. Parents were claiming that Nintendo was evil and literally ruining their children's lives. There's a really interesting article in the 90s that was called The Dark Horrors of Nintendo, and they reference Ninja Kid and Contra of examples of video games rotting children's brains. Odd choices.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Contra helped us win some kind of war.
No doubt there's some kids that enrolled in the army or enlisted.
Yeah, totally.
Like, yeah, I could do that. I could run around a jungle without a shirt on, shooting, you know, aliens with machine guns.
Yeah, where do I get my spread gun? Here?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there's even reference to, like, Super Mario Brothers being too violent.
Mm.
It's like, okay. I mean, if you find that a turtle or a mushroom is sentient, then, you know, maybe you shouldn't stomp on it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Imagine how many of those bot, if you could see like the bottom of your screen, if they like collected somewhere, like seeing that visually, I think would shock you how many turtles and mushrooms you've stomped on. Gabe, you got a rough number for that? How many guys do you think that you murdered?
All time?
An uncountable amount. Millions.
Millions.
No, yeah. You've slain a million turtles and mushrooms?
Okay. Hundreds of thousands then.
Yeah, maybe, I think he's probably right.
Maybe that's true.
World 1-3 alone, there's a lot of Koopas in that level.
Yeah. You ever try the pacifist run?
No.
Oh, no. I've never done it for Super Mario Brothers.
I don't know that you can all the way, but I guess you can because you can trigger the bridge.
Exactly. You don't ever have to actually touch Bowser.
Yeah.
King Koopa, whoever he was back then.
Artist formerly known as.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With all of this like incredible criticism and people really starting to rev up that video games are ruining children's lives, we kind of enter Mario Paint, which was a well-polished PR move off of the heels of Nintendo's very public donation to MIT of $3 million to research how children can learn and develop their brains by using video games.
Right, which I think they can as long as they're not playing the same rotting thing over. Like, there's been games that, you know, like when Gabe plays, what is it, Gabe? Kerbal Space Program?
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm like, Gabe's learning how to like build rockets and kind of like how physics works. I'm not mad at that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not really mad at that.
There were actually sequels made for Mario Paint. There was a whole slew of them. There was a studio of like a studio suite of games developed for the Nintendo 64 DD, the disk drive.
Yeah, the old DD. Mm-hmm.
The old double D that never made it. It sold really poorly in Japan, never made it here. But there was four games made for the DD. And then there was a whole nother suite where you could actually like genuinely animate and start to make video games with polygons.
Yeah.
Never made it here, sadly. But personally, Mike and I spent so much time playing this because it was this really incredible blank canvas at the time. Like there was no kind of direction of what to do when you turned it on.
Yeah, and the first open world.
It made it incredibly cool. Like there's times where we would sit and, you know, make music for hours. There's times we try to draw. And then the animation studio that was in there was actually pretty cool too. The only issue that I think the big Achilles heel to this was, I think they got a lot of things right with this. The one thing they got wrong is there was no battery backup to save anything. And that made you really sometimes not want to try so hard. Like Mike and I have pictures. I will find them. They probably won't make it out this week, but I will eventually find pictures we took of the TV of stuff we drew because there was literally no other way to save the things that you made.
Right. Which would you like? There's no way you'd ever imagine that today.
Oh, of course. I mean, like, there's no way any kids would ever do it today. Oh, and one other thing.
Not only would you be able to save it, you'd be able to share it instantly to every social.
Yeah, exactly. It would go direct to whatever the kids are using.
Snappy and snacky.
One other interesting thing I found out is that when they started the Mario Maker 1, the one that came out on Wii U, it started as an attempt to get Mario Paint back out there. And then they, you know, kind of quickly realized that ship may have sailed and, you know, turned it into a game building suite, but it was meant to be the resurrection of Mario Paint.
Yeah.
I'm happy it wasn't because I have had a lot of fun with Mario Maker 2, but that would have been exactly what you're saying, right? It would have been Mario Paint with the screen and a stylus and the ability to share.
Yeah. I mean, there you have it.
I mean, it's no Boku.
It's not. I'm trying to think. I don't have any personal... I have nothing to lend to the Mario Paint.
No, it's kind of a bummer because
that's true. Which that used to be a thing. Remember, you would teach me something and
let me learn you something.
You know, in only 12 minutes or whatever.
Oh, the pocket episodes we used to do. Some good pockets there. One of my favorites is Rad Racer, like the birth of 3D.
Yeah.
Nintendo's kind of the beginnings of their interest in 3D. Gray's little bit he did in there is amazing because it sounds like he's 2 years old.
Yeah, it's really good. That's definitely worth going back for. Gabe, any thoughts on Mario Paint? Is this something that you'd want as a kid? Second question, is this something you'd pick up for your kids as an adult?
No to both, because
no?
You could literally go to Office Depot or Staples or whatever, buy paper and buy colored pencils and you get a better experience.
You're such a drag. You don't get it, man.
Yeah.
You don't get it, Dad. My friends have it. You don't understand.
I love how, Gabe, how old are you now? 13?
14.
14. Right. 14. I love how you just gave the most 64-year-old response. I don't know why you'd want to do that on a screen. We could just get paper and pencils.
Yeah. Whatever happened to paper and colored pencils?
Is that too much to ask?
Is that too much?
Everybody's clicking mouses. Everyone's buying screens everywhere. Screens. Who needs screens? We've had paper for generations. You go down to the store, you get paper, you get pencils. Is that too much to ask?
Gabe, what about this? What about if it came out for the Switch and it came with like an Apple Pencil, a Nintendo Pencil? Like, what if it was a modern version that kind of had all this stuff, you know, really well developed for this day and age, the ability to share it really quick? Like, would that make it interesting for you?
Well, yeah, because if you use paper, you just have to, like, use a different piece of paper instead of, like, erasing it.
Take a picture of it and then save it to share with friends. Like, I
yeah,
to
which is much harder.
With our disposable cameras.
Take a picture, wait a week for the pictures to be developed.
Right.
It wasn't even like we had it right away.
Yeah, I'll always find one of Mike's butt because he'd always sneak one of those in the disposable camera roll. I mean, that's what disposable cameras were made for.
Pretty much.
We should try to find someone who worked at, like, a photo mat and, like, share some deep dark secrets.
Yeah, like Robin Williams when he was
One Hour Photo. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a great movie. Like his dump in their bathroom.
His villain roles were good. Yeah, were good.
You would remember
the dump. You would remember the dump.
It's a very interesting moment in the movie. You
definitely have like a website that's like all celebrity dump scenes. That's you.
It's like Mr. Skin, Mr. Feet, and Mr. Dumps.
Mr. Dumps! Todd, you are Mr. Dumps!
Yeah, Mr. Dumps.
I knew it!
I'm giving my true identity out to the world.
Yeah.
Clubber Lang is Mr. Dumps.
Yeah.
We I'm telling you, if there's no amount of money that I wouldn't pay to have Mario Paint on Switch.
Wow.
Or even better, Nintendo just develops an incredibly great mobile app so you could use it on an iPad.
That'd be cool. But like, they should really just, now that they have all the touch screens and all the crap, like, just, you could go back and do another paint. It would be so much better and so much easier.
Just do it as a mobile app.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I have for Mario Paint, guys, other than incredible memories.
All right. So you want to take a quick break and see what I threw together during my free period on Boku?
I did this in homeroom.
Right. Was at the red light on the way to school on my knee.
Right, exactly.
All right. So let's take a quick break and then I'll try to teach you all about the glory that is Boku.
I can't wait.
All right. So there's like not a lot on Boku anywhere. Right. And listen, I've wasted money on a lot of things. And I went on eBay and I was like, if anyone has Boku anywhere, I will pay hundreds. Like, I was ready to drop like hundreds of bucks.
I'm sure you would have.
To get this to take pictures for Instagram.
Right.
And like, whatever. Like, just
force Grape to drink it.
Oh, definitely trying it.
Yeah.
Definitely trying it.
Can I ask one quick thing?
Yeah.
Can we start at the beginning? Because we've kind of referenced what it is, and anyone who may have grown up with our age is really the age of the people that are listening to the show. But just start with exactly what Boku was.
It was a fruit juice cooler with no straw.
Mm-hmm.
It came in a juice box. It had a pull tab on the top, and it was marketed towards adults.
Right.
And so you would see this, not like Capri Sun. Whoa! Mm-hmm. Like they open the fridge and the silver guy. They're all on skateboards.
Yep.
Like it wasn't like that. It was on like late night TV. Like all of a sudden you'd see Richard Lewis doing his Richard Lewis ranting.
Right.
Which is just
like during Family Matters, like primetime commercials.
So I go to a party and I got my choice of Coke or Pepsi. This isn't right. I want a Boku, a 7-fruit blend Boku. I mean, all this carbonation is very unsettling. I don't want to belch anymore. Belching is for babies. I want to be refreshed naturally, calmly. I mean, it's my undeniable right as a man of the 90s to quench my thirst in my own way. I want a Boku. I've had it. People invite me to a party, I'm bringing my own Boku. Boku fruit juice cooler from McCain. Is that too much to ask?
Who is this for?
Right.
People like, is it a, and then everyone was like, is it an alcoholic beverage? And people were like, right. No. Like, you had to, the commercial presented more questions than right. It answered.
Well, for sure, especially yeah. The way that was shot.
Yeah, yeah, and it was shot like you know, like an MTV VJ mm-hmm. segment totally. From the early 90s.
Totally MTV,
like,
MTV influence.
Yeah, like way too close, way too far, right. Doing something
silly.
It could
have been a Stone Temple Pilots video, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Early Stone Temple Pilots.
Early, yeah.
Core
yeah, yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. yes, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. So, yeah, so it was just a very weird, out-of-nowhere product, mm-hmm. and I think it sticks in my head to this day because there hasn't been anything really like it that popped up out of nowhere, and it burned so hot for so cool. Like, it was like everyone knew the commercials, mm-hmm. everyone knew the like. I never had
it's one. Arguably one of those moments where the commercial for the product became much more defined and popular and kind of known than the actual product,
right? And like, and I would say, like, we're ripping on them now a little bit, but like, they were successful because they
the only reason.
Yeah, they. I think between 90 and 91, they like when the commercials were running, they saw mm-hmm. like a spike in sales, like $14 million or something, which, you know, doesn't wow. sound like a ton. But for them, who I think kind of just were trying to break into the market, that was kind of a big deal. So it was marketed as like a beverage for the man of the 90s.
Yeah.
With Richard Lewis mm-hmm. as the spokesman. And I think the first commercial was even called like Man of the 90s.
Right. It is. That's right. It is. Cause I looked it up as well. Yeah. That's what the title of that commercial was. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it knew what it was trying to do. And even though the product was confusing as hell. And then what's funny is that most of the information I found on this is in a Vulture interview with Richard Lewis. And Richard Lewis says, I've been doing this for 52 years. And when I got an email from a publicist that someone from Vulture wants to do something about Boku, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. a fucking practical joke is what he said. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, he never thought anybody would ever want to talk about this ever now, again.
He's talking about somebody approaching him about Boku like recently about to talk about it, like the nostalgia yes. of it, not like the yes. call he got to do the commercial.
No. Okay, sorry. Okay. To straight, yes, you're okay. exactly right. This was 2 years ago. Okay. Someone reached out to him.
That's really funny.
Yeah, to yeah. be like, hey, do you remember these commercials mm-hmm. you did? And he's like, I didn't think anyone would ever want to talk about it again.
Sure.
So Boku is a fruit juice. They're fruit juice coolers. They debuted mm-hmm. in 1989, November 89. 12-ounce packages. With what they call grown-up flavors, mm-hmm. like white grape raspberry, oh, yeah. orange peach, and black cherry white grape.
They do sound like great mixers.
Right, but like they weren't marketed as mixers.
No, but they probably could have been.
I'm sure people did. I mean, I'm sure they were
exactly.
like...
Exactly, that's probably why they were bought. Right,
exactly. I have a Boku and vodka. Right, what do you got? Like, so, yeah, yeah.
Got any orange peach? Just black cherry white grape? Fine.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, so Tom, much like Mario Paint, the very idea of Boku was very disruptive.
They're very similar.
This is where the show connects. This is where the rubber meets mm-hmm. the road here, and we really right. put in the work. This is where the show gets going. This is how we bridge the gap with this tiny little bit of logic. Is that they were both innovators and market disruptors?
That's right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So that's coming from former Boku marketing executive Nick Andrus, who says We felt we had to be a little disruptive. As the new player in town, you're going out and competing with Ocean Spray and Welch's. Those sons of
who would ever dare to compete with those people?
The Ocean Spray just goes around like muscling people out of mm-hmm. the juice box industry. You know, like, it'd be a shame if something happened to your juice, your juice right. counter here.
Exactly.
It'd be a real shame.
Right.
Just shaking them down.
Just putting a cigarette butt out in a Boku can right. box.
Exactly. It'd be a shame if it would, come through and just... Right. With the baseball bat, you know?
Those are two bigwigs, man. You don't want to mess with them. Strong arm you out of the market.
No, totally. Ocean Spray and Welch's are like, you know, those are the two
yeah.
families.
Yeah.
You know, you kiss the ring. So,
yeah, you ever hear of Fresh Up Juices? No. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, exactly. Check the bottom of the East River.
Exactly.
So all these well-known brands. And he said, we had to be a little irreverent. And the idea of a celebrity spokesman was discussed at length. And because they were looking for an irreverent approach, they thought maybe a comedian. And that's when they kind of connected with Richard Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Lewis said,
said, I'm not a fruit juice fan. So for me to have to pull this off is like De Niro putting on 70 pounds for Raging Bull. He's like, I'm the De Niro of commercials with this one, is what he says.
Of course he did.
Yeah, that's a very Richard Lewis thing to
say.
Yep. Very, very hilarious. Mm-hmm. So the ads were a hit. And Boku sales, like I said, they surged $14 million between 90 and 91 when they ran. And then what happens next is total failure. The thing, it burnt out. It disappeared. They tried to take Boku into a glass and then into like multi-serve containers, 48-ounce containers, but it didn't work. And by 90...
40 of Boku.
Give me... Dude, Boku 40s?
Yeah. In a glass St. Ives bottle.
Oh, my God.
I would be proud to walk around God. With that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just give me a 40
a coup. I wonder what the nutritional facts of a Boku is. Can we find that information? I'm going to find that information. I'm going to put it on Insta with everything else talked about.
Right. After a 40 of that, you'd be like super healthy. Right. You'd be ready to, you know, do your jog or do whatever. You know, you wouldn't be drunk at all. You'd be approaching, what is it? Clinically healthy?
Clinically healthy.
Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of that. So yeah, but they tried to, you know, experiment it and do other things with it, and it just flamed out, and you know, Richard moved on, and they didn't do any more Boku commercials,
and that was it.
And that was it. It was such a strange thing that just popped up and everyone talked about, and then it died so quickly.
Yeah,
and I just can't believe that I can't get a Boku anywhere on the planet right now. And when you search Boku, anime comes up, of course.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. So that further muddies the waters around me getting my hands on a case of Boku.
Sure.
There's got to be one in like a, you know, like a fallout shelter somewhere. People are like, we're gonna want Boku. Should we bring fruits and vegetables?
No.
Like, should we bring these apples and all that? And they're like, no, we can get seven fruit juices
just all in
from
one.
This and these.
Right.
So we'll load these into the fallout shelter.
I wonder what the expiration on those would be. I mean, 25 years is asking a lot.
Isn't it more than 25? What are we?
Yeah.
What year? No, you're right. 25. Jeez. Okay. Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure that if we get the audience on our side here, someone can help us find a Boku.
I don't think anyone can. I love the idea of them being in some kind of Boku cellar, like a wine cellar.
Right.
And someone's just like, oh, yeah, no, I keep them down here. And these are ancient, you know, casks.
Right.
These ancient casks,
right?
Yeah, uh-huh. Right. And then they, you know, they take the top off and they have the ladle and they taste it. And they're like, yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. One guy somewhere on the planet has that Boku. Right,
exactly.
Cellar.
It's like what we found is the white peach we actually have to keep in the attic because it likes to be warm.
It's like, oh, okay.
Right. All
right. No, that's interesting. Really, I'm glad I took the
Boku Sam course. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Boku Sam course. You know, there are grapes involved. So, you know,
yeah.
There's a level there.
Yeah. There is a level there.
I would love to find one. If you found the Alf phone, I feel like one day, you know what? There's probably like a Piggly Wiggly somewhere that went out of business right around that time that just never got taken over by anything. And in its basement, there's like six cases of Boku just sitting there.
Oh my God. Just six golden cases. Mm-hmm. I think in Pulp Fiction, that's what's in the briefcase.
It's just a bunch of white grape Bokus.
It's just, he just opens up. He's like, oh my God, Boku.
That's it.
He's like,
is that a man's soul? No.
No, it's white cherry, black grape. What was the combination?
I don't know. This is your baby. Black cherry, white grape, and there's a white grape raspberry.
It was like things that don't even exist. It was like, it's blue pear Hawaiian jam. And you're like, oh, this tastes excellent.
Okay. All right.
This is so good.
Gabe,
you've been quiet over there about Boku. Give me something. What do you got? What do you do? How do you feel about this?
It's a very stupid idea.
Ouch!
Drink some ocean spray.
There you go.
I mean,
oh, so you're in the pocket of big ocean spray.
He's in the pocket of big juice.
Yeah,
Gabe. What's your favorite fruit juice? Is it apple? You've referenced it a few times.
You'll drink. He doesn't eat fruit. He doesn't really like fruit juice. Sometimes he'll pivot to apple juice.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, Gabe. Maybe when you're older, you'll wish that you had an adult beverage for when you want to go out. You don't want to drink, but you want to be refreshed. And I don't think that's too much to ask. I think you have a special guest. We could take a break and then come back in.
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right.
This is Super Nintendo Dad Todd Hunt, and I'm joined today, remarkably, by film director, political activist, and quite possibly the most famous street artist of all time, Banksy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, and I'm very happy to be here.
Now, you're here today not to reveal your identity.
Oh, no, not that.
Right, but to reveal the source of your inspiration and how you learned to become one of the most influential modern artists of our time.
Yeah, I don't talk about that much.
Okay, so where is it?
Where is what?
No, where is it that you learned your incredibly unique techniques?
Mario Paint.
Mario Paint, the Super Nintendo game.
Yep.
Mario Paint. I don't think I could have ever guessed that.
I spent my hours swatting flies, making music, and especially using the spray paint tool.
Fascinating. Banksy, you have 12 million followers on Instagram. Is there anything you'd like to say to them?
Thanks.
Well said. Now, Banksy, you have famously said, "Sometimes I feel so sick at the state of the world, I can't even finish my second apple pie." Can you explain that?
No, I cannot explain that at all.
Fair point. Okay, some people assert that your work is simple vandalism, stating that, quote, "they are concerned that your street art glorifies what is essentially vandalism," end quote.
I don't care.
Good point. Well, Banksy, this has been enlightening. Mario Paint. Who would have thought? Thank you for joining us today. Any last words for the audience?
Gaming should be fun.
That's right. See you soon, folks. Now you're here today. Grayson. Can you stop laughing?
No.
That's called corpsing, buddy.
What?
It ruins scenes and wastes money. All right, let's take a deep breath.
All right, so next we're gonna go into Gabe's assignments, I believe.
I think it's homework time.
I think it's homework time.
And after that, we can take away the boy. I forgot the name of it already. We could take away homework first, and Gabe could play Contra. Could get that padlock off the nest.
Yeah, you gotta get that padlock off the nest. Get that pat roast off the nest.
Oh my god. If homework first. Oh my god. Oh my god. If homework first actually still existed, it would 100% be on my store.
Yeah.
It would be like front page.
Yeah, yeah. That's
worried about the demonization of your children through the Nintendo consoles. We got a problem. Fix it for you. It's a homework first.
Homework first.
Oh, Mike, I forgot to tell you.
Oh my
Real
god.
Quick.
Is this Lindell news?
It's not Lindell news, but it's incredibly exciting. The first released Homestar Runner ever was done in Mario Paint.
That is an excellent fact you skipped over, because we became friends.
We became friends because of Homestar.
Because of Homestar Runner. Yeah. Yeah, I drove. Okay, so...
Just give me a chance to do the dance. Yeah, Homestar Runner, a huge love of both of ours. Yeah, I stumbled across that.
Great gerb,
yeah.
I still say great gerb.
I still say resume. Yeah. Here's my resume.
Yeah, yeah. So, Gabe.
Yeah.
You got to be on the... Come on. We're going to need you snappy, and we're going to need you stacky for this
snappy,
one, buddy.
Stacky and snacky.
Because we gave you a homework assignment. What is it? Boku 2022? Code 22?
20 coup. 2020 coup.
2020
coup.
2020 coup. Okay.
Snappy.
Snappy and stacky. Okay. So your assignment was, Gabe, you got to relaunch Boku. We're bringing it back. Mm-hmm. All right. First of all, why do you think that it's the right time to bring it back?
You know, because I see people at parties and...
Sure.
The cola.
I've never seen you outside of your room, but yeah, go on.
No, it's on TikTok.
The generic Pepsi and soda these people are drinking makes them look depressed.
Dullsville,
right? Why not add some...
Who are these L7 squares, right? Yeah. What am I?
I thought, why not add some livery to the party and bring Boku back into the homes of your friends.
It's great. So
the
good.
Reasoning is already so good.
Yeah, it's all snappy and stacky, which is great.
So far, it's snappy, and there's definitely some stackiness. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why you're bringing it back, and you feel now is the time. Why not? Gabe, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to ask you, you know, why not 2 years ago? Why not 3 years ago? Or, you know, the climate might have been, we could have used, you know, something refreshing during COVID. You know, a fruit drink that could get us 100% of our daily vitamin C, not guaranteed.
supply chain issues, probably, Mike.
Well, or supply chain issues. So, but you feel like now, like right now, 2020 coup is the right way to go?
Yeah, I mean, the puns is half the marketing strategy.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, who doesn't like 2020 coup?
Yeah, it tested very well. It tested well with between the three of us, which I think.
I like to go on instincts, kid. I like it.
Right. I could see it on a t-shirt. I could see
don't
it
need
on
a focus group.
I could see it on a pennant at a baseball game. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, great. So,
and no straws, save the turtles. Much like the parents wanting to do by, you know, getting rid of video games and Super Mario Brothers.
That's right. So
another link
to the past. Okay. So, Gabe, you did three commercials. Not only did you cut three spots, I asked you to cut three 30-second spots. I have not screened these ads as usual. I have no idea.
Did we get the approval that we need, though?
Yes. They were run through Yolanda.
Okay. Good.
As usual. For quality control. So I just want to give you the names of the files before we even get into it. I want to give you
so like Man of the 90s, like they're all named.
Right. So the first one is Boku is back.
I love it.
Uh-huh. Second one is airline food.
Okay. Solid Richard Lewis bit.
Right, exactly. I'm thinking like Gabe in front of a brick wall, you know, the ha-ha hole. Okay.
He's wearing sunglasses.
Right, totally. Right. What is the deal? You know, a little Seinfeld.
Exactly.
And the last one's called baseball game. Okay?
Okay, great.
So Gabe did three ads, three 30-second spots I asked him for. Boku is back, airline food, baseball game. We're going to listen to Boku is back right now. Gabe, do you want to set up this clip?
I'll just let the art speak for itself, honestly.
He usually does.
And usually he's fairly right in saying it.
Okay. Anyway, Boku is back. Gabe's bringing it back. 2020 coup. Here we go.
Boku is back, not so babyish babies. Now you can bring your 7-fruit blend for adults to your friends' Marvel movie sessions and not be forced to drink their disgusting generic cola like I was last week. I was belching like a baby, and I'm not a baby. I was stuck in the fridge looking for a nice, refreshing adult juice beverage, and they had nothing. I just want a Boku. Is that too much to ask?
I mean, it's as good as any of the Richard Lewis ones.
You couldn't be less enthused about Boku coming back, and I love it.
And so you composed music in Mario Paint.
It's like
to go underneath it.
It almost sounds like that. Oh my god, Gabe, Boku could be back with this ad campaign. Todd, reactions? Is it snappy? Is it stacky?
It's snappy and stacky. The kids got what it takes, folks.
Who's having Marvel movie marathons and beverage problems?
Gabe is.
Who's having these problems, Gabriel?
But you have to understand, Boku wasn't out there to solve an existing problem.
Right.
Boku created a problem to solve, much like your young son did.
Okay, Boku is back.
And it solves a problem. But see, that, Gabe, is really well done because you attempted to create a problem for this to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel movie marathons, generic Pepsi or cola, we've got you covered.
Yeah. Right,
a refreshing 7-fruit blend.
Yeah. And I don't think it's too much to ask.
Think it's too much to ask.
So this next one's called airline food, which is just the best. If you were going to come up with like the cliche 80s comedy bit,
totally.
It's the airline food.
It's either my wife's the worst or airline food.
Yeah.
Those were 90% of jokes in the 90s.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
Oh my god. Okay, so Gabe really zeroed in on airline food. Let's have a listen to what that sounds like.
What's the deal with airline food? I was stuck on a flight to the brand new Super Mario World in Japan the other day, and the flight attendant walked up to me and asked, "Sir, would you like a drink?" I asked for a Boku, and they said, "I'm sorry, we don't have Boku." I was like, "How do you not have Boku? It's the most refreshing seven fruit blend ever. It can be a meal and a drink." The flight attendant then said, "Sir, I'm going to need you to step off the plane if you continue making a scene." At this point, I'm screaming and yelling, being like, "I want a Boku, is that too much to ask?" Anyway, Boku is back. Buy your local dollar store today.
I can't laugh. It hurts.
Gabe, first of all, we do not promise that it's a meal as well. That is not on the box. We cannot. The FDA will not let us say that it's a meal as well.
You're going to need to see those nutritional facts, folks.
Yeah, it's probably 97% of your daily sugar and like right. 12% vitamin C.
Gabe, but honestly, Gabe, it's a really well-written bit. I was there. I was on the plane. That's really great. That's a really great bit.
Gabe, as a lesson, as a rule, don't yell at airline folks. They don't.
Yeah, these days they don't like it. But listen, what I do think people should start doing is on the plane, like from now on, when I fly to California, they're gonna be like, "Hey, would you like a drink or a snack? We have peanuts and pretzels." I'm gonna say, "Yeah, sure. Can I have a Boku?"
Put it back in the lexicon.
Just get it top of mind, right?
Yeah, just I think that's what we need to do.
Like,
we start
I could be
small.
Sitting next to Big Juice and not know it, right?
Then you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you're in trouble. Whether you're discussing Ocean Spray right. or OJ Simpson, yeah. you're in trouble either way.
This is true. But maybe they'll be like, "Hey, you know what? Maybe we should do our own Boku, right?"
Well, then they're just going to snuff you out in the bathroom.
Oh, that's probably true.
It'll be like murder at 20,000 feet. They're just like, Big Juice is just going to...
I don't want to do that.
No, don't let him know you're going to bring Boku back.
I've got an idea called Mama Bird as well, if you're interested.
And nobody was interested in that, except Kevbo. Kevbo was interested in that for some reason.
Kevbo loves Mama Bird.
He locked in on that.
That is a great bit, Gabe. I would argue to say that's probably one of the best things you ever wrote.
arguing... Like
I'm arguing with Mike.
Yeah,
it's a really good 30 seconds. The only thing I'm disappointed of, so we got the same music in both ads. We would have liked original music for each piece.
Oh no, we didn't do that.
Fair enough.
But to be fair to Gabe, that was not part of the assignment. The assignment was one, because we want people to get used to the campaign.
That's right. That's
we
right.
want
that's
them to
right.
know you
they hear
that
the music.
Music.
They know. Mm-hmm. Right. I know. Boku's back.
It's back. Boku mm-hmm. is back. Okay. So the last one is called Baseball Game.
Mm.
And Gabe, you want to, are we just letting it speak? What are we doing here?
We'll just let it speak again.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. We're rolling it. Baseball Game. Boku is back.
So I was at a baseball game the other day. The hot dog man was walking around saying, hot dog, come and get your hot dog. I walked up to him and I was like, "Yo, dude, you got any Boku?" He replied with, "What's Boku?" And I was like, "What?"
What?
I told him Boku is an amazing seven-fruit blend made into a drink for adults. No alcohol, just nice fruits. The guy then said, "Damn, Boku sounds so good. Where can I get it?" And I told him at the local dollar store. He said, "Wow, I just want a Boku. Is that too much to ask?" Now, you see, that's my line. So naturally, he ended up unconscious in a ditch after the game.
Jesus,
I just want a Boku. Is that too much to ask?
Jesus, Gabriel!
It just shows how serious he is about this.
You took it, one, you went dark with it. But two, you don't expect the guy slinging hot dogs to have Boku. It's not his job. Even if Boku was a fruit juice that was available at the stadium, you wouldn't ask the hot dog man, and certainly you wouldn't threaten him and put him in a ditch.
Gabe, another really well-written piece.
I
was at the game with you.
There was some anger.
Smell those hot dogs.
Gabe's got, he's bringing the, like, he's got some teenage anger he's bringing to the Eps now.
It's very Lewis, though. Lewis had some anger, too.
Yeah, he did, and he does.
Yeah, he did, and he does. He hasn't gone anywhere.
No, he has not gone anywhere. Gabe. Okay.
Wait, what? My favorite part, I think, of all three of them is, and then I said, "What?"
Yeah, I don't know what it is. What? Because you know that's like, there's like exactly. a bendy guitar note.
Totally.
Some guy in rollerblades clearing a car.
Exactly.
using the windshield as a ramp.
Yeah, yeah.
To jump 20 feet in the sky.
Yeah, he's like, I could get over it. And they're like, no, you can't. He's like, watch.
Watch me. And then takes a sip of his boku.
Yeah, which is in like a
fanny pack. Places it down with the label towards the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fanny pack. Again, they're back too, so.
Yeah, there's no reason.
Maybe the next bit should be called fanny pack. How do you feel about hearing them live on the show? Proud of them?
Yeah.
You should be. They're very good.
Quick note here. This is the first time that Gabe actually produced his own segments.
Oh.
He had the assignment, but doing the music and getting it all into the computer and doing everything and putting it together. So he is learning. So
yeah, exactly. We're not rotting his brains.
We're not rotting his brains here. He's actually put that together, and he sent me the three files.
Yeah, you are like minutes away from Mike unlocking homework first on you.
Yeah, I'm ready to unlock that. All right, guys, I got to say, this is a really, it's a really impressive run for Gabe so far. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got Real or Fake, Todd's favorite.
Absolute favorite.
Todd, I did a Real or Fake celebrity endorsements in honor of Richard Lewis. So we're going to
the one I wanted.
Okay, let's take a break and we will do Real or Fake.
My favorite. Great.
All right, Gabe. So, are you ready for Real or Fake? Are you sure you're paying attention over there and not doing whatever? What are you doing? Like, you know, mining in Minecraft or mining for Bitcoin? You're doing something over there that you're not paying attention to. You're not locked in. I can tell, and you're going to need to be locked in because if you want to win, you got to get. We're locking it at 7 out of 10.
Okay.
There's no bonus questions here. There's no bonus. Todd likes to throw you a bonus. No bonus.
Yeah, I don't have a bonus for you this time.
No bonus. All right, you got to get 7 out of 10. 6 out of 10 ain't going to cut it.
Okay.
All right. Real or fake, strange celebrity endorsements.
Okay? I love this.
All right. Todd, and as usual, you have to count. So if you, just because I can't.
Yep.
Okay, yep. Keep track.
I'm also not great, but better than you.
Yes, that's and good enough. So, number one, Muhammad Ali for roach traps. Legendary boxer Muhammad Ali is okay with butterflies and bees, but roaches, not so much. In 1979, Muhammad Ali shot a spot for Decon roach traps. Power, but no poison. I think they're beautiful, the champ says in the tagline. Real or fake?
I honestly don't know if he was even alive then.
That's a really bad place to start.
But if he was, and if this still isn't fake, that you're doing a really good job at selling it, so I'm going to say real.
It is real!
Is it real?
It's real.
Power but poison, I think they're beautiful. Was that real?
Yes, he said that. Yes. Yes.
Power but no poison, I think they're... That's amazing. Good job, Gray.
His face... Do you say gray?
Maybe.
Good job, Greg.
Possible. Yep. I have just put Gray to bed before this, so yeah.
Yeah, just now you're just mixing up our kids.
Yeah, fair enough. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Okay, so that was you're one for one. So great. Yep. So and maybe this time I'll hit the playtest music in the background so I don't have to edit it in later because that's annoying.
Lovely.
And I queued it up anyway and just didn't hit it. So you are one for one.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Fred Flintstone smoking Winstons. Todd would approve.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Back in 1961, Fred and Barney shot a series of spots for Winston cigarettes. Yeah, Barney, Winstons taste good like a cigarette should, Fred says as the tagline in the end of most spots. Real or fake?
I mean, they wouldn't have a kids show person advocate for cigarettes. So I'm going to say fake.
Gabe. You are absolutely wrong. They totally had the Flintstones pushing Winston's cigarettes.
It's crazy, right? Totally crazy. Like, if you think about it, Gabe, I know it sounds nuts, but if you really start to go back and look at, like, cigarette advertising, a lot of it was cartoony. And the reason specifically was to appeal to children. Joe Camel was
early.
A talking camel.
Yeah. And he was cool.
He's cool.
And he's still cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, he passed away from COPD, but he's...
yeah, the body cool. is cold. The body is yeah. cold. It's been yeah. many years.
Literally and, cold. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, good show. You know what? That does make sense in today's day and age, Gabe, but...
It did live in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the 60s, they were all about getting kids on cigarettes early. Okay. Early.
Make them lifers. Short lifers.
Yeah, lifers. Yeah, short lifers. Okay. So, what are we? One for two?
We're one for two.
All right, Gabe. Number okay. three. Dame Dame Judi Dench for Dr. Bottom's hemorrhoid relief pillows. Long before okay. winning Best Supporting okay. Actress in 1998. Long before winning Best Supporting Actress in 1998, Shakespeare in Love, Dame Judi Dench promoted a line of hemorrhoid cushions. Not in her own home country of the UK, of course, but in Australia, like some celebrities do when they're trying wow. to hide more embarrassing stuff.
Wow. You're okay.
Fake. Based on your laughs, I have no idea, but based on your laughs, I'm going to say fake.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's absolutely not a real product,
okay.
Gabe.
Okay.
Okay, you're back in the race. Gabe is right. back
He's
in
two for
the
three.
Race.
You know what, though? I will say that last line, man, really threw me.
The Australia thing.
Yeah, the Australia bit, like, because there are definitely some goofy ads that people do for like Japan and Australia that are just like, yeah, it's fine. I'll collect my $4 million and do this silly ad for Dr. Bottom's hemorrhoid relief pillow that a bunch of Aussies totally. Will see and no one will ever know that I actually am friends with.
Right. Oh my God. 100%. So okay. So Gabe, you're back in the hunt.
Yep.
You're two for three.
Yep.
Number four, OJ Simpson for isotoner gloves.
I mean.
After he was cleared for obviously murdering two people in 1995, football legend O.J. Simpson landed an endorsement deal based off a key piece of evidence during his trial, a bloody isotoner glove found at the scene of the crime. The worst part? This tasteless ad premiered during the 1996 Super Bowl. Tagline, if you can't do the time, wear the gloves. Real or fake?
Wow.
That's, I don't know. You might be trying to, like, throw me off, but I feel like that's so ridiculous that it might actually be a thing. So okay. I'm gonna say true.
I mean. Mike, you're gonna have to sit this boy down.
Gabriel, I'm gonna faint. I can't
breathe. During the Super Bowl game,
Gabriel, he was a straight up killer.
Literally, the only proof they had that he murdered his wife and boyfriend is an isotoner glove.
Oh my God, Gabe! There was a whole thing in the trial. There was a whole thing where one of his representatives, one of his lawyers said, "If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit," because he was trying on the glove in front of the jury and it didn't fit. And they were like, "Oh, the bloody glove doesn't fit OJ, so maybe it doesn't." You
it must
know,
not be his glove. I blame Charlie.
Yeah, it's red. It's a tiny glove. So, oh my God, I'm crying. During the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine?
When you get off for murdering two people, you don't go on Super Bowl.
Well, you know what? To be fair, the only credit I will give Gabe here is O.J. Simpson did write a book called If I Did It.
Yes.
Essentially, his complete...
Confession. Yeah, he did. He wrote that book.
Written in book form.
That's totally true. And ridiculous. Side note, as you know, Todd, we've discussed, I don't know if you know this fun fact, but you know that my dad was in advertising, and he worked on the Hertz commercials with O.J. Simpson and Arnold Palmer.
Really?
Yeah, like the famous one of sure. O.J. like running through the airport. Yep. And yeah. So I have a football signed to me that says, "To Mikey, peace and love, O.J. Simpson."
Get out of here. You've never told me that.
I have it. And I can send you a picture. We could share that.
Sure.
He had one signed, one for me and one for my brother. But I literally, it says peace and love, O.J.
Wow,
Simpson.
Wow, that's amazing.
I will be buried with that football.
Okay, I'll add it to the list.
Add it to the list.
Yep.
Gabe, you didn't get that one, but I'm really glad you didn't, because I'm going to be laughing about that probably forever.
Yeah. It's pretty
Absolutely
great.
Absolutely forever.
If you can't do the time, wear the gloves.
Wear the gloves.
Gabriel. Jeez, I thought I was going to lose you there for sure. Yeah. Holy moly. Okay, okay, okay. So what are we? What are we?
We're 2 for 4.
We're 2 for 4, Gabe. Okay. Jeez. Okay. Luke Skywalker for Kodak. Before he was Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill played a goofy, charming Romeo type standing beneath his girlfriend's window in a 1970s Kodak camera ad. Mm-hmm. The 30-second commercial definitely shows off Hamill's leading man potential. It's no surprise he was cast as the hopeful Jedi shortly thereafter. Real or fake?
I mean, you wouldn't have 3 fakes in a row.
That's what okay. You're doing. You're using the multiple choice test.
You definitely you need to spend more time with your father. Because he has no idea of any sort of what he did here. There's no formula. This isn't the SATs.
Yeah, right. Game's like, it wouldn't be CCC.
Oh, it certainly could be. If I told you the lengths that Mike went to write this article, I mean this bit, you certainly would believe that he put 6 in a row and forget to do any reels.
It's guns that shoot tacos or tacos that shoot guns. It's one or the other. Right. It can't be both. Or neither.
Can I request another read-through of the description?
Before he was Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill played a goofy, charming Romeo type standing beneath his girlfriend's window in this 1970s Kodak ad. The 30-second commercial definitely shows off Hamill's leading man potential, and shortly thereafter, they gave him the part for Luke Skywalker.
Fake.
You're saying fake?
Yeah, because I don't feel like a commercial could show somebody's leading man potential.
Gabe, you're wrong! You're so wrong!
Oh, man.
Hamill did the Kodak commercial, man. Gabriel. Gabe, you're just sinking in this one.
Ben Affleck we're 2 for 5. Commercials. Sure.
Come on. Leonardo DiCaprio did, like, Bubblicious commercials. Gabe!
Woody Allen did adoption commercials.
Richard
Lewis did Boku commercials.
I know.
Ben Farster did U.S. stamp commercials.
Gabriel, holy moly, Gabriel. Okay, so what is he? What is he? 2 for 5.
It's 2 for 5.
Okay, Gabe. Next, we're moving on. Jeez, Gabe. Okay, all right. Here we go. B. Arthur, saving for the war effort. TV mainstay and Golden Girl, Bea Arthur, rest her soul, was quick to lend her talents to Uncle Sam towards the end of World War II. Sure. Arthur pitched in as a pitch woman to sell Americans on the idea of rationing, conserving certain items and materials for the war effort. Real or fake?
Real.
There's no talking it out. You're going right in with real.
Yeah, real.
Okay, Gabe, that is absolutely fake as far as I know.
Oh my God.
I made that up.
It sounded like very TV description-y.
I know it great. Did. I would have said real as well.
That's my bread and butter. I don't think
that's your bread and butter.
If she did do that, then we can go back and amend the record. But I made that up completely.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't number one a thing people did. But I don't know if she's even old enough. Like, she would have been very young during World War II.
Oh, of course. I think you're right.
That was the only thing that threw me off.
I didn't even think about that.
She was definitely alive during it. I just don't know. Like, she would have been like this 13-year-old Shirley Temple type.
Right, right.
Tap dancing for rationing and buying war bonds.
Right, right, right.
Right.
Don't throw away that can. Send it to Uncle Sam.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Snappy and Stacky.
Yeah, do your bit and ration it.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's been great. All right. Oh. So that's our new series.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So Gabe, I'm proud of that one. I'm proud that I got that one by you. Both of us. Yeah. I got it by both of you guys. I'm really disappointed in your OJ Simpson performance, but I feel like the B. Arthur thing was fair play. I got you there. I tried hard and I got you there. Okay. Well, geez, what are we?
Two for six.
2 for 6.
No, Gabe. Gabe. Okay. All right, Gabe, next. Snoop Dogg slings Hot Pockets. Snoop Dogg really sold out for Hot Pockets back in 2012 when he appeared in a commercial for the microwave snack brand singing Pocket Like It's Hot. It was filmed like a really terrible music video in black and white and red and featured sexy women in shorts, a giant Hot Pocket dressed like a pimp, and more. Real or fake?
I mean, you've had like five fakes in a row.
Again, you don't use that as any sort of a barometer.
Sixth fake.
It can be.
I love that this is the logic, the SAT logic. I love the SAT mm-hmm. logic. Or this is Gabe's PSAT logic.
Yeah, so true. Real.
Real?
Yeah.
You are correct. That was a yep. real thing. That yeah, was a real commercial. He did. Great I remember job. Pocket. Yeah. I remember Pocket like it's hot. Yeah.
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 And they're 3 for 7.
And they're scalding hot, by the way. I've burned my mouth on those things so many times that I don't eat them anymore.
I always wished that like a restaurant would do like a gourmet Hot Pocket.
Yeah, well, isn't that just like a, it's just like a calzone with something in it? They do.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's like a chicken pot pie, but rectangular.
Yeah.
But I'd love to go to a restaurant and be like, you know, for them to be like, yeah, you know, we have like a, you know, a prosciutto and provolone Hot Pocket.
Right. If that's something that you're into.
Yeah, I mean, they could call it something fancy like uncroate.
Yeah. And they do that. But think about how fast they turn the tables. You just have to go in and hit the Hot Pocket button on the microwave. Right. You know, it's like, oh, that it'll be right out. Like, is it ready? No, but it will be.
Yeah. Yeah. The microwave that it was cooked in was very clean.
Very clean. Mm-hmm. Come back, and we like to take people back to inspect the kitchen. And
yeah, that's right.
Things of that nature.
We have an A.
Right. We have an A.
So worry not.
Right. There's no rat feces. In any of these, mainly because they're frozen to begin with, and the rest
not just, visible.
Right. They can't gnaw in there.
Right, that's not visible at least.
No.
Yep. All right, great. Good job, Gabe.
All right. So,
whatever child this is that I'm talking to,
whatever it is, a child at the moment. Okay. So, what is he? He's
3 for 7. So, I'm gonna pitch. I'm gonna pitch a line for Gabe here.
Oh my God! You're gonna if he goes perfect out, then he wins.
Not even. We have 3 left. He goes he can 5 for 10.
What? Why are you giving him these? You're letting him fail. I'm trying to toughen him up.
I'm so happy with the bits that he wrote structurally.
Oh,
as
stop.
The two writers.
You're writing like the plus on his hand and the paper he handed in.
I mean, Gabe, it's going to be a D, but it's not going to be an F.
No, I'm not striking that deal. If you get 5 for 10, you do not win.
All right, if he gets 6 for 10, he gets a D.
Fit, you must acquit. I'm not doing it.
What about 6 for 10?
If Gabe aces the rest of the course,
3 left.
He won't have to go to summer school.
Okay. And you'll unlock his homework first when we're done?
Yeah, and I'll unlock the homework.
And you'll buy Ben Forrester's field guide?
Yes, I'll buy Ben Forrester's field guide. Great. I was probably going to do it anyway.
All right, good. Jesus. All right, Gabe, you got to really focus, and I want you to take all logic out of it because Mike is involved.
Yeah. Okay, Gabe. Ted Kaczynski for the U.S. Postal Service.
Oh, Jesus Ted Christ.
Todd! Ted Kaczynski, a.k.a. the Unabomber, made national headlines in the 70s, 80s, and 90s with a wave of anonymous bombings across the country through the U.S. Postal Service. Mm-hmm. Kaczynski was finally brought to justice in 1996 and was sentenced to the death penalty, but Attorney General Janet Reno struck a deal with Kaczynski. If you cut a PSA for the Postal Service for safety, then we'll throw you in Supermax mm-hmm. for life. Mm-hmm. Real or fake?
That's fake.
You're saying that they didn't...
Yeah, they let a bomber be
Michael.
Advocate for them.
They didn't reduce Michael. His sentence, is what you're telling me? I'm not jury tampering.
Mike.
I
let
don't
the
see
boy the, answer.
I don't see the reasoning behind letting somebody who bombed packages be a
Good.
Spokesperson for
Good.
Your company.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Good.
Fake.
Right. Mainly because Todd went Jesus right when I read this thing, blowing up my spot like Kaczynski. He doesn't know who Kaczynski is.
Okay, okay, fair. The thing everyone needs to know is that when we do Real or Fake, I don't look. I am not reading along. I have no idea where this is going. I enjoy it so much. I want to be in the audience.
If anyone's tampering, it's you. I don't like it. You stay out of it from now on. Because
right.
I had joke gimmies going down the line. You're killing me. You're killing me, hon.
I just want Gabe to get his V-Bucks and his G Fuel. That's all I want.
He never gets any of that stuff.
Ah, damn it.
He just gets Taco Bell over and over again.
Okay. Well, I'm going to send him a care package, and I can promise you there's going to be plenty of apple juice.
The only thing he'll drink.
That's right.
Try to find some Boku or make your own. You can make it in a bathtub. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
All right. Next up,
Michael Jackson for the Boys and Girls Club of America. That's it. Presented without comment. This would be before any scandals, of course. Okay, that's the only comment, real or fake.
I mean, like...
Gabe, you want to talk? There's people listening. You want to talk them through what you're thinking?
I mean, there's no description, so... I mean... I guess I'm going to say real. Since you had, like, 7 fakes so far.
No, Gabe! I don't think that happened either. Michael Jackson for the Boys and Girls Club of America?
Todd, totally feasible.
Did you think it was real? You thought that was real?
Mike, before Scandal... Michael Jackson was the most beloved icon who grew up in the spotlight as
a child to an adult territory. Denzel did the Boys and Girls Club of America commercials.
Which was Michael 4-H.
What?
He must have been the 4-H club.
What's the 4-H club?
Oh, it's like a farm club. It's like a thing. It's like a Boys and Girls type thing, but it's like for like farms, I think.
Listen, as far as I know, that didn't happen.
Okay.
At all. Again, we can go back and check. But I thought the ridiculous, sometimes I like to give you, Gabe, I like to give you questions where Todd knows more of the context sometimes than you do.
I could have seen it as being real. I don't know what I would have said, but I could have seen it as being real. And you know, there's one person I'm not going to talk much smack about. It's going to be Michael Jackson.
I know.
Well, Gabe, looks like...
You got one more, Gabe.
You got one more chance to redeem yourself. You'll still win in my book.
All right. Rap snacks.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like there's a rapper alive who hasn't been asked to be the face of Rap Snacks, a brand of chips, cheese puffs, and popcorn that feature flavors like sour cream with a dab of ranch, promoted by Migos, or Louisiana Heat, promoted by Lil Boozy.
I don't know what either of those
people are. Co-founded by Master P in 1994, the brand stayed mainly local until it relaunched in 2016, and it spread through the Midwest. Real or fake?
I mean, that's like too much effort, I think, for you to put in for a single real or fake.
That sounds right.
I'm
going to say real.
You're going to say real.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're right.
That's right, right? Yeah, like, yes. I remember seeing, like, chips recently from someone. I don't know who those two people you mentioned are, but, yeah, it was somebody released, like, Buffalo Wing Chips or something like that. And I was like, is a rapper have their own line of chips out?
Yeah,
there's which made me look into it. And
I've never seen these because I guess it says the Midwest. But yeah, rap snacks. And I guess, you know, different rap acts like promote different flavors, you know, and then they're on the bag for a while, I guess. I don't know. But when I saw this, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that's a real one because I would have thought that rap snacks.
Right.
You know? Yeah. That's ridiculous. Maybe they're delicious. We'll have to get our hands on that. Lil Boku, we're having a party.
Yeah, we're having a party.
Yeah, I think, all right, Gabe. So I think you did.
Okay.
That was a very okay performance. And I will have the OJ Simpson thing forever and ever and ever. And I can't wait to play that like at your wedding and your graduation and your promotion.
Oh my God.
And at the birth of your first child.
You should quickly isolate that piece and just save it on your desktop.
Yeah, just anytime and anytime you just think you know something, like you're like so sure of something, I'm like, Gabe, take a minute and pause and think about it. I'd be like, no, Dad, I'm gonna buy stock and blah blah blah. I'd be like, remember that time you thought OJ Simpson killed someone and then had a Super Bowl commercial?
Yep. You know, there's gonna be a phase soon where he thinks he's smarter than you.
Yeah, well, it's already happening.
Oh yeah, probably.
Which is why I enjoy real or fake. I get to gauge how well he's doing in that area.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of like okay, it's like a little test. I'm running little tests, Mystery Science Theater. So we're getting to the bottom of it. Todd, do you want to take us out?
I would love to, but first I want to congratulate Gabe again on some great bits as always. I know the audience has been asking for more Gabe.
That's true.
For some more Gray, I get the boys back involved, and you know, more to come.
Yeah.
That's it for our first feature presentation of Dad of the Year podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it,
If you have any memories about anything that we discussed on today's show, please feel free to comment on Dad of the Year Cast at Instagram. Share the show with a friend. Share Dad of the Year Cast with a friend. Let everybody know what we're doing on this show. And if you are interested in being part of the show, send us a comment.
Say so long to the folks, Gabe.
So long to the folks, Gabe.